Today's Bible reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verses 10 to 17. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to say, what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Daisy and Maria. We're going to do something slightly different. Today, I'm going to preach a very short sermon, and I'm going to introduce you to our main speaker who will come and share her life story with us, and I hope it will be inspiring for you. But I am going to open up the Bible for us to Exodus chapter 4, 3 and 4, the passage that we've read. I'm going to pray. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you're a great God. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed your Son to us, life to us. And Lord, would you help us to be people who bring life to the world? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, those are familiar words, words in Matthew chapter 28. "All authority of heaven and earth has been given to me, and go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the end of the age." The instruction is clear. Go, make disciples, baptize, and teach everything that I have commanded you. But for many of us, I think the answer, the way that we respond is like Moses did. "Well, I'm too small. Who am I, Lord? My knowledge is limited. My experience is limited. I'm just a nobody. Who am I to go?" Well, that's exactly how Moses felt, and we read that in chapter 4, but the story starts in chapter 3. We know Moses to be this giant of faith, and yet we find him in these chapters struggling, trembling before the task that he's been given. He was reluctant to answer God's call. The setting is the burning bush, Exodus chapter 3, when God appeared to him out of the blue in this burning bush. He answered, God says, you go and free my people. His answer, Moses' answer in chapter 3, verse 11 is, "Who am I? Who am I to go before Pharaoh? I am a nobody." When God says, "I will be with you," well, he answers back. He said, "Well, what if I go and people ask me what your name is? I don't even know your name." And God reveals himself, says, "I am. I am," meaning that he's the one who exists by himself. He's the one who creates the present and the future. "I am" is with you. But he still hesitates. God appeared. God appeared to you. Not just in a dream, but God, you can sense God's presence, right? Burning bush, you can see his presence. This bush is burning with God's presence and holiness, and you hear God's voice audibly. Wouldn't you actually say, "Maybe I should go"? But that's not how Moses responds. He makes excuses, chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "What if they don't believe me?" And then so God gives him a staff. The staff that he has, he says, well, I'll turn this staff into a snake, and he does this trick, this miracle of turning the hand leprous and things, and he says, I will be with you, and there will be signs for you. This signs, my presence will go with you. And God says that he will take the staff and also turn the Nile River into blood. But Moses continues to argue. We read that in verse 10. Pardon me, Lord. I have never been eloquent. And God's answer is amazing. I made your mouth. I made your mouth. I made your eyes. I made you, and I am with you, he says. I'll teach you what to say. And yet Moses answers, verse 13, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Now, Francis Schaeffer was one of the most influential evangelicals of the 20th century. He was the founder of a place called Le Bris in Switzerland. He wrote books that influenced a generation of Christians. He also preached a sermon called No Little People, No Little Place. No Little People, No Little Place. And there, in that sermon, he goes on to point out not just how God used Moses. God used an inanimate object, a stick, a staff, to change the history of the world. God used a stick, which in verse 20 is called the stick of God, stick that is consecrated by God to God. And we already heard about how that stick turned into snake in the presence of the burning bush. In chapter 7, that stick will become a snake and eat up the other two sticks, which also had turned into snake, the Pharaoh's Pharaoh's snakes. And a few verses later, he will strike the bank of the Nile River with that stick, and the Nile will turn to blood. And stick is raised again in chapter 10, raised again to bring the plagues into Egypt. And in chapter 14, in that climactic chapter, they're stuck in between the Red Sea and the chariots that's coming. And God's instruction is in chapter 14, verse 16, raise the stick up high. Schaeffer says, what good is it to lift up a rod when one is caught in the cul-de-sac between the mountains and a great body of water with the mightiest army in the world at one's heel? Much good if the rod is the rod of God. The waters divided and the people passed through. And that stick was used again after they passed to strike the rocks twice, and the water gushed forth. And in chapter 17, Moses raises the stick, and as long as his hands and the stick are raised, they win against this battle against the Amalekites. And when it's down, they lose. God, it becomes a sign of God's strength and God's power. And this is then how he concludes his sermon. God so used the stick of wood can be the banner cry for each of us. God so used a stick of wood. The scripture emphasizes that much can come from a little, if the little is truly consecrated to God. There are no little people and no big people in the true spiritual sense, but only consecrated and unconsecrated people. There are no little people, no little place, only consecrated people, unconsecrated people. Friends, today is the Mission Sunday, where we're reminded of the life that we've been given. Jesus died and shed his blood for us that we can have life, we can have relationship with him, and he sends us out into the world. And I know that many of us feel too small, too little, too unimportant to be participating in that work. But friends, there are no little people and no little place, only a great God who has called you to go out and bring life to the world. And I pray that you will answer that call, that you will give yourself to the work of the Lord and see how mighty and powerful our God is. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the life that you've given us. Lord, we enjoy our relationship with you. We enjoy the love that you have given us and the hope of the new future that is coming. And Lord, you have sent us out. Now we give our lives to you. Would you use us? Would you use us to bring life to the world? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the main sharing will be done by Siumei. Siumei actually has been part of Shatin Church, 1994 to 1998 or something like that. So about 5 years, she was part of our church. And of course, you might know her as executive director of Christian Action. Christian Action was this organization that started to serve the refugees from Vietnam. But that was 1992 when you were appointed. But it's become much, much more. As you see, we support the domestic helpers, the unit there, domestic workers unit there. But they do so many other things. They do the Chungking Mansion Mission Center for Refugees, youth employment training program, social enterprises, green collection program, vocational training for inmates, children's habilitation centers, orphanages in China, and many other things. But rather than me telling you, I'm going to ask Siumei to come. Could we give her a round of applause? And I asked her, and you know, I thought about that message partly because she's a person who said yes to God. When God has called her, she said, "Yes, I will go." And God has used her mightily. And I pray that you'll be inspired by her story. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Heiwu. When Pastor Heiwu, is that okay? Yeah. Sent me an email, he said, "I would like you to share the story of how God has used you in leading Christian Action for 15 minutes, right?" And he heard me sharing for 1 hour, and I thought, I accepted it because I thought, yeah, you know, it's good to come back to Sha Tin Anglican Church to share with some of you what God has done. Well, introduce my family. Ophelia is here to help me. I can't see, of course, up with the PowerPoint. Have you got it? Yeah. Marlon right in front here, and our son Daniel, who is at home, sleeping probably. Anyway, I am a member of the Resurrection Church, and I serve in the church committee, and Marlon is a synod member representing our church. And I want to tell you about my life in Malaysia. This is how I was. I was a very active girl, very popular, very outstanding. And at the age of 15, I was the first girl who won the all-rounder award, the first ever. And I was 15 year old, and I beat the 16 and 15 year old. I was going to be in the glamour industry. I was going to be rich, I decided, you know. And as you can see, whatever competition that I haven't shown other photos that there are, I would be competing because I was such a competitive person. I was I could learn something easily, and I could win awards easily. And I even attempted to do advertisement just before I left for England, and they launched a chocolate called OK Bar, Van Houten's chocolate. Some of you would heard. They still have the chocolate powder. The chocolate bar didn't make it, not because of my face, because it probably didn't taste well. Tastes good. Anyway, I became a Christian when I was 16, but all this were in the background of how I think my life would be. But in the church, I was in Sunday school. This is my Sunday school group. We are still in touch. I found God, but I didn't know Him. Right, I was in a charismatic church where they speak in tongues loudly and they could say prayers, you know, my God, my Lord, you know, all in one long sentence that I couldn't. I felt inferior. I felt I didn't know God because I cannot pray the way they do, nor did I understand God, but that's because I was a very new Christian. So because of my background and because of all the activities and, you know, a lot of boys after me. I was like, you know, I was stereotyped that in the church, I would not be somebody who would pursue God, obviously, right? But that was in my heart. And God changed my life. I got a scholarship from the most, you know, in the most unique way from Kentucky Fried Chicken, Malaysia, okay? And that was the only time they gave a scholarship because they wanted Malaysian Chinese grassroots kids to get educated. So we were one of the three. One of them is actually the women ministry head in Island ECC, the one on the extreme left, okay, Kwan. And one of them is in Vancouver. One of us is, the middle one is in Vancouver, and she is also a missionary. She was a missionary in Sabah, Sarawak. So we were like taken out from Malaysia, and I was plucked out from all the activities that fill my life, and all the awards and all the achievement. And I was like in the wilderness, because I was actually feeling very depressed. But my heart knew that God did this, and I had to know Him. So what did I do? I actually became the only student to study religion in that boarding school. Okay. So what happened was that I had the chaplain, the Anglican chaplain, all to myself, right? So I could ask all sorts of questions, and even Francis Schaeffer, you know, about what's the word? I can't remember now. You know, all the Christian worldview during that time, okay? And he was teaching me, only person there. Every lesson I would learn something. Then I went to college at the age of 21. I felt very close to God, because during the time I was in boarding school, there was nothing to do. You have to go to sleep at a certain time. You got to wake up at a certain time. And I was just sitting there with no activities, looking across the fence. You know, it's Wiltshire, Melksham, where there's nothing except cows and, you know, horses, whatever. And I knew God. I had a very good relationship. I felt God was my father, and I was so loved that I would do, at that point, I was dialoguing with Him all the time. So at the age of 21, I dialogued with God again, said to Him, why did you bring me to England, right? I didn't even like the place. It was too cold, no Malaysian food, you know, we like laksa and all this sort of stuff. And He, you know, we had a dialogue, and He said, you think you have talents? I said, yeah, I could be somebody, I could be rich in Malaysia. And He said to me, what will you do with your talent? Will you use it for yourself, or will you use it for others? This is God, right? Of course I said, I'll use it for others. Then He said to me, then you partner with me to make the world a better place, because this world was made perfect, and now it's not perfect. There's greed, there's exploitation, you know, there's a lot of things wrong with it. And at the age of 21, I said, okay, God, let's do it. So by the age of 23, I was like, not stupid, you know, if I went back to Malaysia immediately, I would be in the rat race, and my parents would expect me to make money, and, you know, and there was nothing that I could do in Malaysia that is sustainable to serve, right? So I said, God, I saved £1,000, okay, from my scholarship, and I'm going to use 1 year. You have to show me, okay? So that 1 year, I was a full-time volunteer serving Vietnamese boat people in Liverpool, okay? And I was living in a very a depressed place called Liverpool 8, Toxteth, for those who know that place well, where there was racial riots. But I was very streetwise, and I could survive. I even took Marlon to the Billy Graham Crusade, right? And everywhere I went, I seemed to attract, you know, attention. So I was like, also featured in the Billy Graham Crusade when he was there in Anfield. And I mean, I think this is to prove that I was there and I was serving in Liverpool. You know, Marlon didn't become a Christian through Billy Graham. Marlon became a Christian from a missionary from Nigeria, funnily enough, that a church in Liverpool had planted. And he came back to give a talk and Marlon became a Christian. Anyway, all the Bible verses that I learned or that impressed upon me in my heart, because I just knew the Bible is the Word of God and everything is true. So, you know, the things that he said when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And to serve the least is like serving Jesus. And I wanted to do that. Okay, that really motivated me. So to cut a long story short, Marlon and I got married in Liverpool. 10 days later, we were in Hong Kong. Okay, my chi zai, right? I didn't know Hong Kong. I didn't know Chinese, right? I didn't even speak Chinese well at that point in time. And there I was. But the lo and behold, within 9 years, right? This is like God worked in me in such a fast pace, right? I became a Christian when I was 16. I went to England when I was 18. And by 23, I was already in the field. And by 92, I was an executive director of an organization called Hong Kong Christian Aid to Refugees, okay? 9 years after I came out to be a volunteer, how on earth 32-year-old became a executive director? And that was because they were going to either close the agency, because by 1997, you know, all the refugees would have to be repatriated, okay, or resettled. And I was a very good project manager, you know, again, won award and stuff like that during that time. And UNHCR had given us a lot of projects, you know, because I was leading a lot of them. And asked me if there is anything else we could do. So I prayed. And the first people group that the Lord showed me, you know, apart from everything you saw, was the foreign domestic helpers. Believe it or not, 1993, we started to serve foreign domestic helpers with St. John's Cathedral, okay, helpers for domestic helpers, and later we got independent and started to serve in St. Andrew's Church, and the rest is history. So, why did we serve foreign domestic helpers? Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Okay? And Jesus was a refugee. So the compassion that came to my heart, you know, is from the scripture, as well as, like, you know, when God showed me something is in the news, is in a radio, and, you know, someone will know someone who is abused, whatever. And so that's how we started, serving Vietnamese boat people at the same time as well as starting a program. And in my heart, if this is what God wants, He will supply. You know, where's the money going to come from? I didn't know people then, right? Apart from not knowing Chinese. So anyway, up to now, you can see the different kinds of strangers and sojourners or people who are different from us. I mean, they're not strangers, you know, for goodness sakes, right? They're just people living amongst us. It's that, yeah? Center for Refugees. We have now an ambassador scheme for every minority and youth. Diversity Hub, that's the newest thing we started, because we wanted that to be a mini museum of ethnic minority groups in Hong Kong, that they can see that they are not really a newcomer. They are actually part of Hong Kong, so that they can proud of themselves and be part of the community. And then we have a center for migrant domestic helpers and a shelter that has been renovated, is now beautiful. is actually better than some of the very nice looking hostels in Hong Kong. So if you're interested, do come and visit. Okay. So Center for Migrant Domestic Helpers is since 1993. And by the way, we changed our name to Christian Action in 1994 because we had already repurposed, right? And we needed a new identity. So in a way, everything you saw just now was since 1993 in the video. And we stopped working for Vietnamese boat people in 1997, 98. So since 1993, you will see that the data we have, okay? So from a calling or God just touching, you know, our hearts, this is the kind of result. We have had 22,276 consultations, you know, people asking for help over just these few years. 5 years. I mean, you know, if we go back to 1993, the number would be amazingly big. So you can see, we actually do not just like we actually do settlement. We get money back for these people, right? We used to get a lot more money because the abuse used to be so bad in the past, but now it's getting better. But there's still a lot of underpayment and exploitation, and now there are many cases of. Abuse, etc. I'll just show, I'll highlight a few for you, okay? So you can see this case is a very sad case. It's this old woman, she applied for Ismiati to come to Hong Kong to look after the husband, the dying husband. So before the helper could arrive, the husband died, and so she blamed her, okay? And you know, of course, there's conversation. And she was washing the dishes, and she said, "Oh, it's not my fault, you know, your husband would have died anyway, right?" And so she was so angry, she poured hot water over her, and you see the burn. And very sad story, because the lady did have to go to prison for a couple of months. So anyway, another case that is, I'm showing these because these were in the newspaper, okay? So this is a sexual harassment case. Again, many helpers who come to Hong Kong face situation where there is like stereotyping. They have this expectation that they're more than just domestic workers. Okay, but in this case, we won. The girl was paid, awarded $182,000. As compensation for sexual harassment. So these are the cases, these are the people we help. Right? I'm showing these cases because you are supporting our migrant domestic work. It's so important. They're helpless. They're actually just like a sitting duck, okay? And a lot of them would go back home if they didn't know our services with debt, right? With injuries, okay? So we have tons and tons of cases that you can talk to Tanya, Patricia, or I, okay, about these cases. So your support has empowered us and allowed us to serve domestic helpers in distress. Now, this is our 40th anniversary, and we thought, what should we, one of the things is the mustard seed. Like your church. When it started, it was so small. I was around, okay? And I remember that we had this church on fire. Some of you might remember. Church on fire, okay? And we were, you know, I see Robert and Alice there. And Robert and I would be preaching in the street, right? Robert is preaching and I would be translating out in the open, right? And now you guys have, I should be part of you, right? You're serving... supporting so many ministries, and they are out in the street. They're out there. Okay, so from a mustard seed, from nothing here to all of you. So, and the thing that we want to say in 40 years is our faith in action. You see, his faith and his actions works together. His actions made his faith complete. So your actions have made your faith complete. Okay? Is there like time for Q&A or I'm done? You can talk to me if you wish. And if you want to get involved, there are many things that you can get involved. And we have leaflet out there. We have a flag day coming. So if you would like to volunteer, please see us. Thank you very much. That's all I can do in 20 minutes.